This is a real deal. You know, if we approach this, as I said a while ago, it'll be like a sitting around the table just talking after a meal. It's good that most of us got our meal. Dutch and Sandy still working on it. We're not going to watch, though. So you can slip out if you need to refill your plates. I had a situation this morning that really was so applicable to the scripture that I'm going to share with you. And like the other day, I said, Biff Pokoroba, I'll tell you more about that. And after the meeting, Craig says, "What's that Biff Pokoroba thing you're going to tell us?" And I had to come back because I forgot about that. But I will not forget about my deal at the bank this morning with an Indian lady. But I want to share with you a quote. Who knows Robert Kiyosaki? Rich Dad, Poor Dad. He authored that book. I got a quote from him. It says, "God speaks through intuition. The stronger your spirit, the clearer the voice, and the bolder your actions." And I believe he's right on with that. He might not have used through the Holy Spirit, might not have said exactly like I would have said it if I was trying to make that same point. You know, many times we as Christians have difficulty connecting with people that do not know what Christianity is. Sometimes we have difficulty connecting with people that think they know what Christianity is. And we're not supposed to judge that. And I'll read you some scripture here that kind of points in that direction. In 2 Corinthians 6 says, "We put no stumbling block in anyone's path so that our ministry will not be discredited. Rather, as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, in great endurance, in troubles, hardships, and distresses, in purity, understanding, patience, and kindness, in the Holy Spirit, and in sincere love, in truthful speech, and in the power of God." And I thought about, when I finished with that little passage of Scripture, I thought about not being a stumbling block and how we shouldn't judge. And you know where it says, "For God sent His Son into the world to not to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved"? Not John 3:16, but John 3:17 is where that is. Reminding us that God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world. So we as Christians can find a lot of things wrong with the world. A lot of things going in the wrong direction. And we can be so critical. And what does that accomplish? Stacy, you used to say you get a lot more with sugar than you do vinegar or something like that. Yeah. And I believe that as we come into full maturity of what God wants us to be, which won't be until heaven, by the way, but we're in the process of maturing. And as we discover opportunities to share with people that we didn't even know we were going to have the opportunity, then we should be sharing. Tonight is that opportunity for many of you as you feel led to share. I went by the bank. I had gone over to Athens and picked up some rent money, and it was a handful of cash. I did that yesterday or last night. And I went by the bank and deposited 11 $100 bills in the ATM. And they said, "You got more cash?" And I put 24 $20 bills in there. And it spit out 13 of those $20 bills, and the sign said, you know, "We can't accept these bills. Try again." So there were about 10 of them that were brand new. So I started kind of wrinkling them up and putting older bills between them. And I was going to feed them back in there. And the light went off. Now, I had deposited $1,320 in there. And I had to start another transaction. And I did that transaction and deposited the 20 that it spit back at me the first time. And I said, man, there's something not right here. And I went inside, and Kaberi saw me. She's an Indian lady there. She said, hey, Larry, I can help you over here. So we went into her little office there, and she said, what do you need? I said, I just deposited $1,320 that I didn't get a receipt for. She pulled up her computer, and she said, I don't see anything here. I said, Kaberi, man, we got a problem. That's a lot of money. And she said, I forgot the manager's name, but she got him to come over and explain the situation. And he said, well, just fill out this form. I said, what about the $1,320? He says, well, they'll be here tomorrow to check that out. And he went on. I said, well, that's all we can do. And she said then, Larry, I have known you for 14 years. You're not somebody just coming in here. Don't worry about that money. She said, I see you consistently. Said, you look so good. I think about the cancer that you went through, and you're looking so good. I've got some issues with my husband. She started opening up about her husband being inactive and how she can't get him to do anything other than sit. And he's got illness, but we started sharing. I said, well, you know, there's a spot each Wednesday that really renews me. We call it the NFL, Norcross Fellowship Luncheon. And Christian businessmen share their testimony there. She said, oh, that is wonderful. Said, we don't have anything like that in the Indian faith, but I know what it is to have faith. But as I left there and realized that because of that negative situation, I had a chance to sort of witness with Kaberi. That opportunity would not have been there if the negative thing had not been there. And sometimes I think God allows those things to take place for that purpose. Many times we can be behaving in a way that it would not mean very much if we express those words. If I told her that each week I co-hosted a luncheon where Christian businessmen shared their testimony, and I was ranting and raving at her, saying, what are you going to do about it? That would have been a different climate. It would not have been so well received. I think as we go through our everyday life, especially in the business world, where in the business world, I believe that people less often think about God's direction than they do in the spiritual world. That's an easy assumption to make. But where you have people that you're doing business with, that you know are like-minded, dealing with Christians. Hardy Warmack and I were out on 81 looking at some property. I mentioned this at the luncheon the other day, and he reminded me a while ago that I didn't go to the doctor with my whiplash because we got hit in the rear end as we sat at the traffic light there. Well, it wasn't anything drastic at all, but I told Phyllis, Hardy's wife, a few minutes ago, that I found out that Hardy has different abilities and different gifts. I don't think I called him that, Hardy, but it is different. Hardy and I are different, but he has some of what I need, and I have some of what he needs. And as we work together toward whatever we're supposed to accomplish for the Lord, we find out how important the other person is. And the other person that's been so important in this luncheon, the Norcross Fellowship Luncheon, Heinz Wagner for me. So, Heinz, come on up. Let's welcome Heinz.
Thank you, Larry. Thank you. I'm going to put this here for a minute. But this is the Norcross Fellowship Luncheon. We've met pretty much every week since 1985. The purpose is to provide a platform for a businessman to share his faith and how that works in the marketplace. We try to remain denominationally inclusive and politically neutral, not the other way around. Try to keep the focus on Jesus. Our speakers are always businessmen that profess their Christ in the marketplace that are not in full-time ministry and currently employed. And we recommend no teaching, preaching, or selling, but just a man share how Jesus has impacted his life and in the business place, in the marketplace, or in other situations. But what I've just told you, I say every Wednesday, and it's for Larry and me. I mean, if you pick something up while I'm sharing that, great. But I repeat that to keep us on target, on track, with exactly what this luncheon is for. And I think that's a key part of following what we believe is God's vision for us, is not to try to, you know, tweak that or change it from the original witness that we had. Larry and I met in 1985. I had accepted Jesus in 1980 after ending up becoming a workaholic and alcoholic and successful but really empty. And a friend invited me, Clarence Burkholder invited me to a Bible study where I accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. I still struggled with alcohol for 3.5 years. And the beauty of that, it wasn't a very pretty thing, but the beauty of that was sensing the grace and gentleness of Jesus as I was wrestling with that. And I had a firsthand experience what it means, what the grace of God means, because anyway. So Clarence invited me to the Full Gospel Businessmen's Meeting, March 3rd, 1984. I went up front for prayer, was miraculously healed of alcohol, rested in the Spirit, and my life hasn't been the same since. And started attending a luncheon in Roswell, but our offices were in Norcross, so I got with Linwood Maddox, Deborah's dad, who connected me with Larry, and we started meeting at Uncle Albert's Country Buffet. We have met at, this is the sixth restaurant we've met at, the longest has still been the Shoney's. That was 14 years, but we've been here 11, and time really goes by fast. Want to mention a couple things in the flyer. First of all, that just what we put together here. We're thankful to Jesus, our family, especially Deborah and Nan, all who have helped us, all who have attended, and all who have spoken at the NFL these last 30 years. Our lives and our faith have been enriched by meeting so many people who love Jesus and boldly proclaim him as Lord and Savior in all areas of our lives, including the marketplace. Thank you for attending tonight and helping us remember and celebrate what Jesus has done during the many meetings we have had the privilege of hosting since 1985. And Larry made a good point that the luncheon is because of people that attend, people that share. But to be honest with you, this has been the steady faith-building part of my faith journey for 30 years. We've attended six churches, and I've been accused of... I'm getting ready to tell a joke. I told Nan I'd try to make this joke free, but please don't. But I've been accused of staying at a church till I run out of speakers for the Norcross luncheon, but that's only partly true. But anyway, and you know, there have been ups and downs. There have been family issues. There have been business issues. There have been all kinds of things over those years. But the luncheon has been an oasis where you hear a businessman share, you gather with other businessmen, and you get reinvigorated in what Jesus can do. There are a lot of people that have helped in this. Nan does the flyer. She's an amazing behind-the-scenes person and goes from the bios to the short bios that you see that are so well done. Backup for Larry and me, Stacy Burt. By the way, I want to thank Stacy and Jeannie especially, right, Stacy? Okay. What an awesome job she did on the tables and the table settings and the flowers. Let's give her a hand. It just really, really has transformed us. Anyway, it takes a lot of work, and we are so grateful for that. Also want to call your attention to, of course, Craig Cantrell. How many years now, Craig? 15 years. Let's give him a hand, too. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. Lee used to do that, Al Patrick, John Clower, video. We remember John Clower, who's videoing in heaven right now. He would stand right back there. In fact, his picture is on. I put a collage of pictures from the 25th together, and one of my favorites is when he's with Larry and Deborah's grandson, right? Isn't that your, yeah. And what a sweet man he was, and he's dancing with Jesus now. So there are a website. Christopher Dreyer did the initial one, and my son did the current rendition of that, and maintained by a guy that works with us, Bill Weaver. We had one video on YouTube. Linwood Maddox, Deborah's dad, his testimony was on there. And then The Christian Businessman Today was a radio program Larry and I did. We did it together for about 5 or 6 programs, and then I did it for another 10 or 12. And what we have in the back there on the table where Jeff is, we have the DVD of the 25th celebration, which John Clower did. Excellent, excellent quality. It's just amazing and very, very inspirational. I put together a DVD of the Christian Businessman Today meetings or programs, and also archives from 1986. Billy Watts, was that Billy's bars, right? And Leland Strange and Bill Watkins, Tom Sawyer, a good, good friend of Larry's and a mentor for him. Tom Samuel, a good brother in the Lord, who he and Vicki used to come here regularly. He went to be with the Lord. And Janet Mullinax, one of the few times we did try to mix ladies' testimonies and men's testimonies. And they were good testimonies, but just not what God was calling us to do. So, but Janet has a great testimony. Then we were also 15 years ago on Atlanta Live. Philip Bray moderated the show, and that video is back there too. These are all free. And then the 2014 and 2015 MP3 of the testimonies. If you're on a long drive, pop these in, and it will bless you. There are about 40 half-hour testimonies on each one. Let's see if there's some other things here. Yeah, well, we've had about 1,440 meetings with 48 a year. If there are 20 people per week, that would be 28,000 people. And so there have been a lot of opportunities in just meeting regularly for a lot of people to come and hear Jesus be lifted up here in a powerful way. We also had some testimonies or luncheons like this done by Gary Pernice and George Wicker and Len Sykes. And then finally, the section with Jesus, three new names on there, John Clower, Tom Luckett, and Hayes Martin. Tom was here just a few weeks before he died. He had an accident, was in the Chattahoochee, fell off a boat, and went to be with Jesus. So this bulletin and the pictures, the collage of the pictures of the 25th are for you all to take, and the CDs, if any of these are a benefit to you, help yourself. The thing that I keep thinking about is when I think about 30 years or 40 years or 50 years, first thing I think about is my wonderful wife, Natalie, 48 years of marriage. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. And we've known each other 51, so it's just been a joy. And, you know, one of the things I think about of knowing Jesus as Lord and Savior, looking back on the years, I have no regrets. It is a joyful, joyful time. There have been ups and downs, but no regrets. And, you know, before I accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, there was always turmoil. There was always trying to make something happen, always trying to get something done. And, you know, this constant pressure, try to make yourself somebody. And the Lord spoke to my heart the other day when I was kind of being a little self-critical that we are one of a kind. You know, you are one of a kind in all of creation. There will never be another Mac McNair. Did you know that, Dee? Yeah, that's right. Yeah. A couple milestones. Of course, 1985, I have a prayer journal that I go back to in five-year increments. 85, of course, the NFL started about this time. 1990, I attended a business by the book and met Paul McGraw, which... That's another story. 1995, Hurricane Opal blew through Atlanta. Do you remember that? We had about this exact same time. We had the high-tech prayer breakfast, and Adolf Coors was speaking, and so I wanted to make sure I heard him because I bought a lot of his product at one time. So that's, anyway. And Nan and I drove in the traffic lights out, trees on the road, and there were 300 to 400 people. No cars on the road, right. 2000, about this almost exact time, Tom Warner went to be with Jesus. And yeah, because I remember 10-4, a good buddy. I thought of Tom wishing me that. And of course, today is 10 years later, the dinner. one of the things I think is really powerful is as we share testimonies of what Jesus has done in our lives specifically and recently, there builds faith. Faith is built up, and often God does a similar thing that the person shares about in their testimony, whether it's a healing, being delivered of something, set free, whatever it might be. And so that's kind of the foundation of the Norcross Luncheon anyway. But as Larry mentioned, we want you to think about what you might be willing to share. And I know there's one person who's never without a word to say. Mac's looking down on the paper. But I'm going to give this to Mac. And then after he's done, then Larry, pick it up and we'll go through the... and if you would just stand and tell us your favorite football team. In 3 to 5 minutes.
I was born in a third world country. They call it Alabama. And if there's any one thing that can convince you that there are absolutes in this universe that you have no control over, for example, gravity, you can take an Alabama and an Auburn student and drop them off the same building. They both hit the ground, unless one of them's wearing a parachute or something. That's what you call an absolute. Well, God gave us some of those himself. He wrote them in a book called the Bible. And so you really can't brag too much about the fact that the Holy Spirit comes to live in your life. That's the argument that we have. Because God used a jackass. He's used all kind of individuals. He even used Larry and me. And that's desperate. He needs that. But I say that because when I was in California, I think I was 40-something, 64 maybe, anyway, and I had just participated in the space program with the original seven, but I got beat out going to the moon by, what's his name, I think?
John Glenn.
Yeah, John Glenn. So I was highly discouraged because I knew I was the best person in the world to be one of the original astronauts, but they turned me down. And so, not being full of humility, and I still have, I don't have a vacuum, I have a vacuum voice. I was very disappointed. And so I had been born and raised in a church. By the time I could get there, it was called Unity Church. Never had any Unity, but that was what it was named. And it was a wonderful bunch of people in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. And then the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor, and I decided to go whip the Japanese. Went to the Army Air Corps, and they sent me to England instead of to Japan. And I survived that, four wars actually, and I had just finished, I think, my third war at that time when I was in California. And I insisted, you know, my kids go to church, my wife, we what happened was that my 11-year-old daughter came home and said she had invited Jesus into her life. I said, honey, you're not old enough to understand that. Although she belonged to the church, same church I belonged to. Well, she would have her little prayer meetings with her friends, and it kind of troubled me that she was doing that, because I didn't think she was qualified, an 11-year-old. But I was in Almogordo, New Mexico, in another space program effort, and she had told me, Dad, if that's not what I should do, what should I do? And so there I was, brilliant guy, master's in college in aerospace engineering, one of the smartest guys anywhere in the universe. Old fighter pilot, I'd shot down a lot of guys, and I was very humble also. And I couldn't picture an 11-year-old knowing as much as I knew. And I was out in Almogordo, New Mexico one night, and I couldn't sleep. And finally I knew why I couldn't sleep, because I couldn't answer my 11-year-old daughter, because I didn't have an answer for myself. And you can't either, until you have an answer for yourself. But God decided the same thing with me that he decided with the jackass. He decided to use me, and he answered it for me. And it was almost light came on. I got out of my bed in an old motel where I was staying, and I knew enough about religion. You know, you're supposed to pray on your knees and all that. So I got on my knees, and I said, God, if you know what it's all about, I realized that I have all the answers and so on, but would you help me to understand what to tell my daughter? And he said, well, you can't tell your daughter until you know what it is to tell her. And it was almost as though a light came on in my head, and I was down on my knees looking, making sure no one saw me, because no fighter pilot wants to be considered, shall I say, self-centered. Anyway, and I went back to bed, and a voice said to me, it's very simple. I will come into your life, the thought, and solve this whole problem for you if you want me to. My initial reaction was, well, I'm doing the best I can, Lord. I mean, I don't want to, you know, don't want to bother you with this, but would you do that? And it was almost as though a light came on in my head. I can't really describe it to this day, except all I knew the answer. The answer was very simple. It had been taken care of since the beginning of time, in particular when Jesus Christ overcome the absolutes like gravity and proved that he knew the solution to the absolutes. And it was my faith in him that would make a difference. I have no animosity toward organized religion, but that won't do it for me. And so I told God if he needed any help, I was available. I went home and I told my wife, first wife, and my daughter what had happened. And they had trouble believing it because they knew how hard-headed I was. But it worked. It wasn't long after that that I got called up to the Pentagon. I stayed there for a while. And I didn't like what was going on there, so I volunteered to go to Vietnam so I could get out of the Pentagon. And I got to Vietnam. One of the first guys I met was an old buddy of mine. And I said, Dick, are you a Christian? He said, hell yes, I was born a Methodist. I said, well, that's a pretty good idea. I was born another brand, but it didn't work for me. He said, well, it did. So I told him. And today I can tell you that Dick knows more about a relationship with Jesus Christ than I do. He's come a long way. I know some guys in this room that when I first met you, just like me, you were looking for the answer. And you thought it had to be something brilliant. Well, like I said, if God used a jackass, he can use any of us. And don't ever forget that even when you have Christ in your life, you still you're still inadequate. You can't keep the absolute, so only he can do it. And that's why he says that my people who call my name will confess their sins, and we don't like to think we sins as Christians, but you do, and turn from their wicked ways. He said, I will heal the land. We think we could do it, and we're trying everything we can do, but we can't do it. A chimpanzee could do it easier than we can if he's got a right relationship with God, okay? So that's my only argument today, and it's your decision. And I don't try to tell you what you should do or shouldn't do, because I'm still operating in the physical, and I have the same trouble with gravity that you do.
You know, the idea, even after you become a Christian, you can't stay in the same place, and that's certainly not sitting in the pew. And many, many times we find ourselves in churches, because I've been there and done that, where going to the church is what being a Christian is all about. And sometimes the Lord will lead us in a direction where we will be able to be fortified, if you will, by other men. I certainly found that in Full Gospel, as I shared here last week. The different people that have had such an impact on my life simply by being where they were. Mac is one of those. I met him at the Full Gospel Advance when he's running for governor, and got to know him a little bit there, and then not realizing we'd become friends like we have. Another guy I feel like I've known forever is sitting here making notes, as he always does on Wednesday. And not only has he become a great friend of mine, but my sons. He's gotten to know Caleb. Jeff, you got something to share. I don't know what. But let's welcome Jeff Meyer.
Thank you, guys. Yeah, I do always have something to share. And a lot of times I find myself, especially on Wednesdays, I do love open mics. I find myself trying to throttle it back in because I want to hear what other people have to go ahead and say. Watched the DVD of the 25th anniversary, and I saw that you guys got plaques and lots of accolades and stuff. And you, Hines and Larry, both addressed that today. As far as I know, we don't have any presents for you. But I want to give you my heartfelt thanks, because this has been a great thing, tool, whatever you want to call it, in my life that's played a part, and I'll go into that in just a minute or two. But you'll get your reward. So I really do heartfelt appreciate that. And I think I can speak for everybody here that we do love you guys. And from the times Hines invited me and invited me again, then again, and from the time I walked in here, and I got to have so many more brothers, and I'm very, very blessed. Why do we meet? Why are we in this environment? What exactly is this environment? We're talking here at my table. It's not a Bible study. It's certainly not church. We're not supposed to teach or preach, but we're here for a purpose. We're businessmen and business people and business women. And I've learned over the last 10 or 15 years, the things that we take in, the things that we watch on TV, the movies, the music we listen to, the environments that we put ourselves in, it affects us. I know it affects me. And what I take in is wind up what comes out. So I better be well aware of what I'm taking in. In Philippians, it talks about, let us focus on what is good and pure and wholesome and worthy and godly. And those are the things that I know that I need to focus on. Along those lines, there is nothing more godly and worthy and honorable than God's word and about having a relationship with God. So my prayer life and my scripture reading is the most important thing to me. Aside from that, it's meeting with a friend of mine at Chick-fil-A once a week. It's my Trace Diaz relationship that's been nurtured. And now NFL has become a very, very important part of my spiritual exercise. It's extremely important for all of us to be in the Word, to be in prayer. But things like this, I can only speak for myself, but I can't put a price tag on it. It's extremely valuable, important to me. I leave here. First of all, I look forward to coming on Wednesday mornings. Sandy and I were talking about sometimes it's tough. Work catches up to you. I can't make it. I've never once been disappointed. I will put some things aside, and I get here a little bit late, and sometimes I'll even skip lunch. But I never leave here without being abundantly blessed. And I think about for me and for everybody else, it's a matter of us getting in our car and driving here. For Hines and Larry, Larry, I know you pray about what to say every morning. Hines, you line up speakers. The work that Nan does, it's easy for us to be here. But I really appreciate 30 years is just amazing. Ties into maybe to where we're going to be 30 years from now. The fact is, a lot of us are going to be gone in 30 years from now, and I'm okay with that. Time goes by quickly. So the time that we have here and the things that we do now are extremely important. I'm okay with where I know exactly where I'm going to be 30, 40, 50 years from now, and I know who I'll be here with, or be there with, I should say. But time does go by quick, and we have a limited time here in this earth. It's one of the notes I've had. Speaking of notes, I do, like Hines, every Wednesday afternoon I take notes. One of these days I will write a book about the things I've learned from the NFL, or maybe I'll just speak on it a year or 5 years down the road here on our 35th anniversary. But I've learned a great deal. I come here with an open mind, open spirit, pen in hand, piece of paper. I listen to good, godly men who have been walking with Jesus longer than I have, and I learn something every time I come here. But getting back to our limited time, I'm probably rambling here a little bit, but I have a lot of stuff that's on my heart that I want to try to get out. The time is now for us to go out and do something. And, you know, we can't wait. God does not want us to be passive Christians. God wants us to know Scripture, know where God stands on Scripture, and we are called to take a stand and defend what Scripture says. We're in a dark world, and not to get political, we're going into a... I think we're on a very bad path, very dark path. It is time for us to stand up as Christians, take a stand, defend God. Not that he needs it, but he does call us to go ahead and do that. So the time is now. It is time for us to do things of great significance. And the last thing I'll say, and I have even more notes, but I won't go into that. The mission field is not here. I think we've all had a relationship with Christ. We've all accepted Jesus. The mission field and is out there. It's in the workplace. It's in the home. It's in the supermarket. It's in the schools. That is where the mission field is, and that's what the Great Commission calls us to go ahead and do. So this is great. I am strengthened. I'm encouraged by being here, but this strengthens me to go out and what God calls us to do.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jeff. Great job. Jeff has been with Provino's over 30 years in the restaurant business and mentors, by his leadership, hundreds of people. Many of them are younger and very energetic and enthusiastic people. And so the impact that we have on others after Jesus, after we're saved and Jesus comes into our heart, I think goes beyond preaching or handing out tracts or whatever. It's being around people and just doing what we do in a way that would be honoring God. We have something at our company called a God Report, and not everybody in our company is Christian, but I just decided to have a report where something happens that's unique. We put it in there. And we recently had one of the guys that normally doesn't share talk about God things that he saw that just were beyond explanation and beyond coincidence. And that's when things really get exciting. So I want you to be raising your hands here, because I'm not going to be talking much longer. Who's ready? There we go. Yeah, we got one. Okay. Yeah, come over here, Stacy, so you won't get the feedback. Yeah. Yeah. Did you raise your hand?
I saw him.
I saw him. Did you see it? Okay, I saw it. The finger went up. Yeah. Yeah, there you go.
Welcome, Stacy. Thank you so much. I think Hines probably could have put this on by himself for 30 years, probably. But with Larry being on the scene, it's made it real special for me, because we've been friends for so long.
But I think a real special thanks has to go to his wife, Deborah, because Larry has told the story many times that he saw what he liked before they got married, and he asked her for a date, and she took him to a Full Gospel businessmen's luncheon. So that's how that got started. Thank you, Deborah. We appreciate that so much. But this has meant so much to me for the last 17 or 18 years in reference to, I can't believe it's been that long, and boom, 30 years. And as Larry will tell you, and he's seen it, on my desk is a calendar, and everything's in pencil except Wednesday, and it's in ink, NFL. That's the only thing that's really been stationary for me at the middle of the week is that right there. We had a Remax agency. Larry was one of our agents at that time, and we had another gentleman that was a good friend of ours who we just found out from Denny is actually in town. And I wished he would have been here, Jim Daniels. And he invited me to this meeting. And I came and I thought, whoa, there's things there that I came back and then Larry was encouraging to me and that type thing. I was introduced to the Georgia Men's Advance. Going to the Georgia Men's Advance, if you've never been there, 700, 800, 900, 1,000, 1,200 men all celebrating Jesus and that type thing. And I thought, going to a Baptist church, I had never seen hands raised and people rolling in tongues and doing all that. And I thought, whoa, where are the snakes? I mean, I was looking for the snakes. My first encounter. But we got through that. And as I grew, I've had a first example experience. Some of you may remember this. With a water ski, okay? I've had an example with some other things in my life that produced such evidence of Jesus being in and around us on a daily basis. And when I lose something, I can't find it, and it just happened this weekend. And I'd been looking for 2 weeks for our little video camera. I couldn't find it anywhere. In the basement, I looked at the hunting camp, I looked at my sister-in-law's, I said, in both cars, I said, it's got to be somewhere. And I was in the basement, and I thought, I'm trying to do it on my own again, as I've always done, being a type A personality. And I said, Jesus, don't get choked up, Burton. I said, Jesus, I can't find this on my own. Would you help me? And as I told Jeannie, I got up from the basement, went up to the third floor, looked on the shelf, pushed back in the shelf, in the sack that I had left it in, it was the video camera. And I've been 3 weeks trying to find that camera. Now, you think Jesus can't affect your life? That might sound simple to some of you, but it was pretty big to me. And so, if you're not walking with Jesus, I know everybody here is, or you probably wouldn't be here, but those encounters that you can have through the Holy Spirit being in your life. And the thing that scared me the most was while I was driving one time, and I'd been to the Georgia Men's Advance, and I had gone down and confessed, and they tried to push you over. Now, speak. I knew they wanted me to speak in tongues. I wasn't about to speak in no tongues. I'll tell you that right now. So I felt a little guilty, and I'm coming down I-20 about 4 weeks later, and I said, Jesus, if you really want me to speak in tongues, would you please give me that prayer language? And all of a sudden, my lips started quivering, and I can tell you the exact place on I-20 where I first got the prayer language, and it scared me half to death, but it can sure give you that inner peace and that inner direction that you need in your daily life. And the only thing that I regret with the 18 years that I've been coming to this meeting, that it didn't start from day one and have been here 30 years. Thank you, Hines. Thank you, Larry.
You know, no, Matt doesn't like people. He's a military guy. Guys don't hug guys, you know. I thought of a Baptist deacon that was helping me work on the houses when I was buying the houses and fixing them up. You remember Bill Davis did a lot of work with me. We had a house over in Austell, and we got that thing refurbished, and the water heater was in its own little closet. We had to replace the water heater, and Bill had hooked all that up and then built the frame and put that closet together. He turned the water on, and it was leaking. He said, "Oh, man, we got to tear that thing all apart." I said, "No, Bill, we can pray for it. Let's ask God's help here." And I laid hands on that water heater and prayed healing on a water heater. And it stopped leaking. And Bill said, "I have never heard of any such as that." See, the environment we're in, there would have been so much that I wouldn't have known had I not met Deborah. Because I knew the Baptist church. I've been in one a long time. But then she invites me to the full gospel meeting, and then I want to go to church with her, and it's Mount Paran. Man, you talk about a whole different world. And as I got to know people, men, businessmen that were doing something about being a Christian, that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to get qualified to do it. And I kept going to the full gospel meetings. And you know, now I realize I was qualified to do it from the very beginning. But because I wasn't in the right environment, I didn't understand that. I didn't understand that the story that we have and the impact we have on others is something that we need to be sharing. We need to recognize when we're led to share that we need to share. We may not realize the impact until we look back. Gary, share. Let's welcome Gary Pernice. He didn't come very often like he used to.
I'm a Southern Baptist. That's why I only come once a month when I have to. I wasn't going to say anything, but you made me remember something I just shared a week ago.
All right.
And it's just humorous, but it's true. When I was raised as a Catholic and Jewish in a large farm family in upstate New York near Cooperstown. And so we went to church on Sundays only if we wanted to. All the kids didn't have to go. My parents were wanting to encourage that kind of thing, but it was more of a form of social responsibility. So I went through all the Catholic services, and I ended up getting confirmed and communion, all that kind of stuff. And eventually I had an opportunity to go to Oral Roberts University. I won't torture with the reason why I went, but I went. And it really caused some problems because my father, who had faced, he was a Jew, and he married a Catholic, and he faced all kinds of family trouble back in the 40s when he got married. But now, you know, 30 years later, you don't marry outside of the faith. So anyway, I end up at Oral Roberts University, and I was absolutely lost. When you were talking about raising the hands and all of that kind of stuff, I was there 24 hours. Elvis Presley had just died 2 days earlier. I had just returned from my first trip overseas as an exchange student. I'm in a cultural shock. I'd never been west of the Mississippi. My roommate, his name is Lord John Byron McKay Thomas III. He has a brand new automobile, convertible, dressed in silk suits. I was so proud of my Botany 500 polyester suit with my white tie and my white breeches. I thought I was the coolest thing in town until I saw him. So God took one of the wealthiest kids in the campus and put him with me. It was a blessing because Byron was mature in the Lord, and eventually he led me to the Lord without criticizing and so forth. Well, we had another fellow. His name was Jonathan Couser. And Jonathan should not have been ORU material. He was a womanizer. He was in trouble all the time. And his father and mother sent him to ORU under the misguided belief that it would be like military school. So he had a motorcycle, and he was a girl magnet, and he was just a constant menace. Well, I knew I had one shot in life, and I had to succeed at college. And so I was serious. I mean, 9 to 5, I was in the books. In the evening, I was back in the books. Jonathan was a playboy. He would come by our room once in a while, and he'd just rock in the door, and he'd carry on. I couldn't stand the guy. I couldn't stand him. So one day, we had an occasion to go to Bartlesville, Oklahoma, and there was two girls and two other guys, so it was five of us. And we were going to have fried bologna. I couldn't even think of the thought what that concoction must have been, and they're all talking about it like it's a delicacy. So I knew I wasn't in Kansas anymore. I also had never seen a day in my life over 90 degrees in Cooperstown, New York. In fact, one time it hit 91, it was a record, it was newspapers, it was a whole big deal. So it was 107 degrees. So we get in the van, and Jonathan is the only one that had a vehicle could drive us. And Bartlesville is about 90 miles, I think. And we're going along, and two of these folks were from Rhema Bible School. Now, you want to talk about what I call holy rollers. There's not a term for these folks. I didn't relate to that. I thought they were nuts. Then we had a Southern Baptist guy, and we had Jonathan, who knows what he was. So we're going along, and Jonathan's out in the middle of this long stretch of highway, and he says, "Uh-oh, we're about to run out of gas." I'm looking at him. You know you're going 90 miles. You know there's no gas stations. All of a sudden, it's boom, 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 boom. We're in suits and ties because we're going to an ORU function. 107 degrees. I am melting like the Wicked Witch of the West. I am absolutely soaked. Jonathan gets out. The girls are all, and what's going on? And Jonathan says, "Why don't we lay hands on the van and the gas tank and pray to God that he'll fill the engine with enough gas to get to a gas station?" I'm scratching my head, and I said, "You know, I've heard this Oral Roberts thing, and he'd say, 'I know that I know that I know that I know,' and he's praying and healing people left and right, but I don't know if it's going to work on a piece of metal." I could not bring myself to even think this was possible, but I wasn't going to insult these people. I didn't want to be a freak. So the freaks get out, and they're praying for this thing. So I put my hand on the, "Whoa, whoa, 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 whoa." Well, he starts to, nothing. Just pray harder. I mean, how do you pray harder? You pray. So this goes on for about 2 minutes. And all of a sudden, Jonathan says, "I feel it in my spirit. One more time. Pray, pray, pray." All of a sudden, this thing, it starts up. And I'm looking at this gas gauge from zero to full. I'm doing the dance with the rest of them. I said, "Oh, my God." And I could not believe that God had filled the tank to a full tank. We went on to the thing, and from that point forward, I didn't make fun of people from Rhema. I was ambivalent as to what Jonathan was, and the Baptist had convinced me that there is a God that can heal anything. I have told that story. It was a big faith builder for me for 25 years. I have led people to the Lord with that very story. I believe that God heals and you can do all this stuff. About 5 years ago, Jonathan was back from here. He brought me here, by the way. He led me here. I became a Georgian and he went to New York. So one day, and he became a Christian much later, but he became the bona fide goods. So we're at a party and I'm sharing the story. I said, "You know how I really got to respect Jonathan?" And I start telling the story. He calls me Bubba, by the way. He says, "Bubba, why do you tell that story?" I said, "Because it built my faith. It made me believe that God can heal anything." He says, "You're an idiot." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "There's two tanks. I let it run out. I mocked you all. I just turned the switch. We filled up the gas and we kept on going." I said, "You know, you've just destroyed my testimony." So anyway, God will even use humor to change lives, and it has changed a lot of lives. But anyway, laying it on that water heater was just fine.
Praise the Lord. You know, people are looking for God to show up. And they're looking in all the wrong places. Isn't there a song like that? I had a guy, never mind, I'm not going to even tell about that story. But we need to tell our stories. You know, for 25 years, that was a faith-building story. And, praise the Lord. Who's next? Yes, sir. Lee Tingler.
I could tell a story about two ladies that went to heaven, and they met St. Peter, and he says, we have only one rule here. It's do not step on a duck, because they make a horrible sound, and it's really hard to, well, let's put it this way. You just don't want to step on a duck because payback is terrible. So one of these ladies did step on a duck, and it made this noise, and up comes this angel with a chain and chains her to an ugly guy. And she says, he says, you two are together for all eternity. A few days later, the lady's friend was standing there, afraid of, you know, walking around ducks, and this really gorgeous man walks up to him, and with an angel, and he's chained to her. And she says, my friend stepped on a duck and got an ugly man. What did I do to deserve you? He says, I stepped on a duck. All righty. Anyway, I'm Lee. Anyway, my name is Lee Tingler, and I'm originally from Florida, actually the Florida Keys, and I've been working my way north. Actually, I worked my way so north, I ended up in Canada on the West Coast, and then I decided I needed to come back, and I ended up in Atlanta. And it was a friend of mine's aunt, which was a evangelist, said, I said, I'd like to get back to the East Coast. My mother's getting older and that sort of thing. And she says, let me pray about it. And she says, call me in 2 days. And I called her up and she says, Atlanta. I said, Atlanta what? She says, you're supposed to go to Atlanta. Okay. And trade winds will blow for you there. Okay. All right. And I think of trade winds as business-wise. Maybe she was speaking spiritually. So my trek started when I was a child down in the Florida Keys and to Miami and then up to the Pacific Northwest and then back to Atlanta. Now, I've been here since 1997, and this is about the time I showed up at NFL. And Warren Was brought me over. He was an associate minister at a little CMA church I went to just down the road here. But anyway, I've been coming here for about 18 years. And the connections that God has put together through the NFL have been really phenomenal. Our past brother, John Clower, I got into acting. Nothing major yet, folks. Sorry. And he shot all my headshots. And then on my first two jobs I was at, he ended up being the cinematographer there. So I said, well, I'm in good hands. I'll just do my thing and know it's going to look great anyway. But the NFL has really done so many beautiful things, I'm sure, for all of us. But it's made so many nice connections for me, Larry and Heinz and Mac and a bunch of other people. And I wanted to say thank you guys for giving me a great 18 years here in Atlanta, and keep up the good work.
Amen. You know, as we think about what we do here at the NFL, hopefully it's inspiring you to go out and do things like Jeff is talking about, the Tres Dias, the things with his meeting with the guy he meets with at the Chick-fil-A at Hamilton Mill. Where is that thing that?
Yeah, I think it was there. Yeah. Hold it close to me. Yeah.
Okay. Glad we got some engineers here. Yeah. As I think about the impact of some of the people that I've met here at the NFL, and of course I can think about Stacy outside of NFL, because we worked together for so many years. But if you think about the results of the information we got here, I think of Barbara Winland, with me being at Virtual Properties now, how she came in one time after missing a couple of weeks And I said, Barbara, where in the world you been? I thought you got mad at us and not coming back. She said, no, I was doing continuing education. I said, for what? She said, real estate. I got my real estate license. And I said, well, where did you do that? She said, in the office. I said, what does it cost? She said, it's free. I said, wow, I want to know more about it. And she gave me Billy Rivas' phone number. And I called Billy and went over and visited with him. And Billy prayed with me that day before I left his office. And what I've done over there at Virtual Properties is not phenomenal in the real estate business. But I think it's phenomenal in the relationship business. We have started a Tuesday meeting every fourth Tuesday where we have a real estate fellowship breakfast there. And that's not just for our office. It's open to other people, all real estate people, but we just haven't got a lot of them in there. Now, I'm going to turn around and look at Hardy Womack because he's one of these guys that's always got something to say. He's one of the guys that I met at Virtual Properties, and beside him is Tom Townsend. And Hardy does a lot. The reason I was thinking of Hardy is because he does a lot in his church. I found out he's a worship leader. I found out that, in fact, I don't want to tell you a testimony. Let's welcome Hardy Womack.
One of the guys at church says, give Hardy a microphone and a small crowd, and he's happy. I did want the Colonel to know that I've experienced some of the same things he has, because we do have some jackasses in South Georgia, where I came from. And if you take a guy from Alabama, a guy from Auburn, and a guy from the University of Georgia, and you throw them off the top of the Georgia Tech spire, they all hit the ground at the same time. So, but I did want to tell you a story, because we talked a few minutes ago about being healed from alcohol. I was healed from tobacco, because I had smoked since I was 13 years old. And Phyllis and I were going to an Epimetha Baptist church. That's where you have two Episcopalians. 75% of the congregation thought they were still Baptist. Over the door, it said United Methodist Church. And our pastor began his ministry as a Pentecostal preacher. So that made us Epimetha Baptistal. But every time the pastor tried to say it, he'd say, Hardy, what are we? And they asked me to, it was a Methodist church back up in the country. They never really understood what Lent was, which is a Catholic, Episcopal kind of program, of course, that not everybody practices, but most people know what Lent is. You have to give something up for 40 days. So I was taking the church through a Lenten program, and I said, you have to give up something very, very important. I said, it'd be like me, and I've been smoking 50 years, me giving up cigarettes, but I can't do that. I'll give something up, but it's not going to be smoking. And then I thought, well, why can't I try it for Lent? So I put my cigarettes down. I bought some patches and used these medium strength patches until I ran out of the first box. Then I bought another box and started using those. And I thought, well, the patches aren't doing me a lot of good. So I sent them to my son, who was in Iraq at the time, so he could start using them. But I quit smoking. And I never started back. Now, after those 40 days, I didn't think of myself as a smoker anymore. And about a year and a half later, I was shooting some pool with my son, and I said, give me a cigarette. And he said, no, Dad, you quit. And he knew the story. You know, if you ever smoke one cigarette, you want to start smoking again. Well, I got him to give me a cigarette. I smoked one and a half cigarettes, and the next day I thought, well, golly, I'm going to want to get a pack. I didn't want a pack, because in my mind, I was just not a smoker anymore. And I used to, you know, have about once a year a social cigarette with my son. I quit that. Just makes your clothes smell bad, which my wife told me for, you know, 30 years. And, you know, God helped me through that. And I occasionally have a cigar on the golf course, but I don't even do that much anymore. But that is all God's work in my life. And I didn't have to go to Alabama to figure out how to do that, Mac.
Let me say something about that smoking. Even after I had gotten involved in the Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship, I still smoked. And it wasn't until I heard Tom Ashcraft say, you know, I don't think smoking will send you to hell, but I do believe it'll hurt your testimony. That really registered with me, because I wanted to be like he was, and like Linwood, and like those guys that were speaking at Full Gospel. So you got a reason to do those things, and you can do it for sure.
Praise the Lord. And talking about seeing God move in a powerful place, I'm going to ask Ormond Curl to share briefly about whatever the Lord puts on his heart and maybe an upcoming revival here. Ormond Curl.
Well, I would talk about smoking, but I don't think I'll talk about that. I'm going to share a story with you that, since my wife is here, that I hadn't shared with, I don't think we've actually shared this story with too many people. It's not a story that is going to be uplifting, but it's a story I think needs to be told. You know, there's, whenever you're going on a missionary trip, you're always told to get people to pray for you. You know, get as many people as possible to pray. And we had just moved in a new home, and we had had this big party, and we found out we were going to go on this crusade. And we actually found out about a week ahead of time, and we didn't have enough time to actually get people to pray for us. And so we finished this big party we had at the house, and that next morning we were heading out for this crusade, and it was in Africa. And we got there, and the first couple of nights, it was all you could ever imagine. You know, just everything was going well. And then this one night, we had the Holy Ghost move and ask everybody to come forward with their tarot cards and all of their demonic stuff, and we burned it all. And that evening, when Debbie and I were in bed, I just, about maybe 1 in the morning, I just popped up in the bed and said, wake up, wake up. And we had this couple next door to us that were from California. And Debbie woke up and she was crying. And I said, what's wrong with you? And she said that I had this terrible dream. And I said, well, what was the dream about? And she said, well, I saw a couple being beheaded. And I said, wow. And, but I knew that there was something inside of me that was tugging against me as well. And I had this big fear on me. It was like the enemy was in the room with us. And so what happened was, I went, and it was like 1 in the morning. I went and I opened the door to this, we were kind of in this motel kind of place. I opened the door, and here's three guys. You know, they're and I startled them like they startled me. And I don't know what the plan was. But without a shadow of a doubt, I knew that the Holy Spirit had prevailed and stopped whatever was going to happen, because then all of, and we had some soldiers guarding us, and then they got up, and long story short, God had spared us, and probably the couple next door as well. And all I'm saying to each of you is all of our stories that we tell, we've had experience after experience after experience where the enemy has wanted to take us out. You know, my wife and I were walking on vacation in St. Martin, and just having a great time, and we had just learned a new song in our Pentecostal church that we were in at that time, and we were saying, J-O-Y Joy, Joy in the Holy Ghost. J-O-Y Joy, Joy in the Holy Ghost. And we were just walking along holding hands, and the beach was here, and sand, and you know, in the country that we're in, the St. Martin, traffic was coming in the opposite direction, so we were walking this way because the cars were coming, we can get off and get back on the road. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit said to me, get off the road. And so I pushed Debbie off, and I got off, and she looked, you know how the wife looks at you, Heinz, like, what, are you crazy or what? And just as we did that, this car came by, it's like, whoosh, and we would have been goners for sure. Why am I sharing this with you? each one of us have a lot that we've got to get done. And each one of us can get up here and probably share stories on how God has spared our lives. And we know without a shadow of a doubt that He spared our life so that we can be around March the 5th and 6th, 2016. Because Reinhard Bonnke is going to be in Atlanta. And we're going to have 18,000 people on the 5th at Phillips Arena. We're going to have another 18,000 people on the 6th at Phillips Arena. And all of you are invited. Bring some heathen friends of yours, if you got them. Because it's an evangelistic event. And we've gone on a number of crusades with him internationally. And I'm just telling you, when Reinhard Bonnke gets up and says, America shall be saved, America's going to be saved. And I know, Jeff, you were kind of alluding to some of the things that's happening in this country right now. And it you don't even have to be a Christian to be disappointed. You know, I've got people that aren't Christians that are disappointed. And so all I can say is that, guys, this is all happening on our watch. You know, and when we get to heaven and he say, hey, good and faithful servant, enter my rest, you know, we're going to be bringing a lot of baggage with us from what we've allowed to happen. So I'm inviting all of you March 5th and 6th of next year. Let's turn this tide. We're kind of, I can't say we're losing the battle, but it doesn't look real favorable. And so I'm asking that, come on out, let's see if we can get some souls saved. Thank you.
I'm sure there are others that have something to share. Barbara.
I just want to tell a real story, Gary, about God supplying gasoline. We had a friend in Fort Lauderdale. My children were probably in middle school, I guess. And she was the maid for a neighbor. And she had been reared Catholic. And she was living with her son. She was a widow, living with her son. And she drove a little tiny Nash car. And she was so small herself that there was a big block that he had put on the gas pedal and on the brake so she could get her foot down there to control it. But the story is that when she became a Christian, when she really came to know the Lord, she was so excited. And her son hated her because she left the Catholic Church. And she was having to live with him. She worked for the neighbor, and we would invite her down. We stopped and talked. We lived in a neighborhood where everybody had race horses, so everybody had like the minimum was 2.5 acres. Most of them had 5 to 10 acres, on the edge of Fort Lauderdale. She would take her little Nash car and drive out in the Everglades and in these little spots where the Pentecostal churches were. And she would be so excited. She was just beaming. Well, we got acquainted with her. And one day she said, I don't have any money. And I said, well, let me give you something. She said, oh, no. She said, my God supplies my needs. And she didn't want any money. And I said, well, do you have gas in your car? And she said, no. She says, but God puts it in there. She drove for 3 months to these little churches where God's spirit was moving, and she was so excited, and not once did she put gas in her car. She walked and talked with God, and He did supply the gas. She was just a light on a hill. And one day, my husband's name is in this on page 3 where he's with Jesus now. My late husband, his name is in here. But anyway, that day I had felt to call a lady, a prayer partner of ours up in Seattle. And it was a very strange thing with her because when people would call her, we were living in Fort Lauderdale, by the way, when people would call her, they would often get other people. It was very, very strange. In fact, my friend, Velma Frank, and you all probably know her husband, Neil, who was head of the Hurricane Center in Miami for years, she called our friend in Seattle and got President Nixon on hotline. And that was when Nixon was going through all that trouble with Watergate. And he said, who is this and what are you doing on this line? And so she talked with him. She told him who she was. Well, he knew her husband. He was on television almost every night. And so anyway, she talked to him. She said, well, since I'm talking to you, do you have a prayer request? Do you have a need? And he said, it got real quiet. And then he said, yes, I do. He said, I'm in trouble and I need prayer. And that was President Nixon. You know, he had his house down in Key Biscayne. Neil Frank's wife, Valma, he and Valma lived on Key Biscayne also. But somehow the wires had gotten crossed. But the fact of it is, when you would call this lady, you would often get other people. It happened twice to me. I was searching for someone, and I couldn't find them. And I called her, and the other person answered. And she was in, I had lost track of her, but she was in North Carolina. And I was calling Seattle. And this, there was just story after story how the Holy Spirit would move people. And she would come to Fort Lauderdale and visit with us. She would visit from house to house, and just miracle after miracle would happen. But and I don't know how I got off on her, but anyway, it was just a very exciting time when we were there in Fort Lauderdale, and there was a great move of the Holy Spirit going on. And we saw miracles. We just saw so many things. And one night we were driving, I think we had been in Atlanta, and we were driving back home, and we were on Lake Okeechobee. We were near Lake Okeechobee on 29, and the lights, we were driving to Lincoln, and the lights went out. It was after midnight. We could not see anything. And if you've ever driven down that stretch of land, there's nothing except a canal on the side. We were in total darkness, and we couldn't pull off. We had to drive. Don slowed down and slowed and slowed, and we were barely going. And we kept praying, God send another car so we can get the lights from that car. And there's nothing he could do but keep going, because we didn't know if we stopped we were going to hit the alligator ditch. It was just, the gully running by. We drove for like 2 hours in that situation, and God got us safely to Fort Lauderdale. That was a miracle. We've seen God wants us to dwell, not to just visit him, but to dwell in his presence. And this is just wonderful, to dwell in the presence of God and to know that God is with us, in us, and works through us. It's marvelous to be there. And then anything is possible. God says, you'll do greater things than I do. Can we comprehend that? I mean, that's just beyond our comprehension. Thank you. Oh, by the way, my husband, I think, was probably one of your first meetings.
Yes.
Yeah. So this group has been important in my life and in his life. And in fact, he was here just before he passed away, if you all remember.
Thank you, Barbara. Yeah, thank you. How many have been to a football game recently at the stadium? Yeah. I Nan and I were in South Bend, went to a Notre Dame game, and I haven't been to many football games, but there were 80,000 people there, which is about half the population of South Bend, I think, and they were crazy wild for these men running around on a field with this funny-looking ball that they were throwing around, running into each other. What do you call that? Football, yeah, football. And I thought, what is it about football that gets people so excited, and yet the creator of the world, Jesus, lives in us to do the miraculous, to heal us, to deliver us, to save us, and we can't get 100 people to come to church on Sunday? What's wrong? What's wrong? And I think part of it is we have made church largely devoid of signs and wonders, the very thing that Jesus used to evangelize. And I believe it's part and parcel of every believer. And that's part of what we want to do in encouraging men to share their testimony, how the Holy Spirit has moved in a supernatural way to bring the joy and excitement for Jesus that we can have gathering around in the stadium with 80,000 other people watching a little ball thrown back and forth and men run into each other. Denny, what, Denny Brown, what do you say about that?
Guess it's my turn, huh? I used to have the shakes years ago, but there's the past. When Hines was talking, I was thinking of John 4:4, be greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Another scripture came to my mind too, Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified with Christ. It's not I who lives, but Christ who lives within me. The life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loves me and gave his life for me. Somehow, this evening I was thinking, for the last 5 years I've been battling some with cancer. I had thyroid cancer, and then they was down to Mayo, and they used nuclear medicine to get it for a while anyway, for 4 or 5 years, and then back about this Christmas, it came back, but it came back in a different place, in a mambrium, which is above my sternum right here. And so in July, I had several treatments of radiation, and that's about it. I can tell you about all the reports and the 8 scans that I've done and all that kind of thing, but during none of this time that I've had any of this cancer, have I had any illness, including the radiation? I totally believe that Jesus was going to heal me, but on the same token, I went to the doctors that they recommended that I go to. And so I'm just so thankful to be here this evening. Another little tidbit, this little gal right over the table that I'm deeply in love with, God can do all kinds of things just like he's doing me with this cancer. I don't know where this is going, but I tell you what, if I'm a sick man, I'm the most well sick man you've seen. And but our marriage fell apart after 42 years. It was disappointing. It was crushing. But 4 or 5 years after that, God put it on my heart and he said, you've got to get this marriage back together. And I'm not going to point any fingers or blame anything. We were both a party of it, and God has put together our marriage, and we've been married what a year and a half ago, back in. And I just want to tell you that the last year and a half, really the last 2 years, has been the happiest time of my life. How you can say that with some of the health issues that that I had, I don't know how I can say that to you, but I tell you, I am the most fortunate man that ever existed. One of the things that I was at a healing service, man, you know, when they tell you got cancer, man, you get around, you go, I want to go any place, anybody suggests to pray, and I have several people that come to me, of all things, as a result of the cancer, that I have to pray for them. Yes. It happened, I haven't even told you that, Sharon, but Marcia came up to me, and a neighbor lady who's a Jewish lady, and comes to me immediately when she needs prayer, and suggested that I pray for another lady that is battling cancer, and so I'll call Jerry tomorrow and round her up. But it's just amazing when they were praying for me, several people prayed for me. They didn't know me at this service. I just went by myself and came up and spoke some words over me. But one of them said that I had a healing ministry, and I've had a healing ministry, and I know that I've had a many opportunities. Paul Walker used to send Sharon and I to hospitals to pray for people. And so I don't know how that's going to play out, but when he also said that, he said as a part of the healing process, your healing will come as you pray for others. Well, now let me tell you, brother, I've been out there praying for everybody that listened to me. And we'll continue to do that and join the prayer ministry at our church. And it's the only Baptist church where the old boy in the prayer room's praying in tongues the whole time. And but I don't know where that all goes. I really don't. I'm just at a wonderful place in my life, and it's just thanks for asking me to share a word, and love y'all. Hines, we met for 25, 30 years weekly, and now the four of us get together and everything. These guys have had a tremendous impact in my life, you know, and I just can't thank God enough for friends like this and all of you. God bless. Thanks.
Thank you, Denny. Well, this is the end of the program. Many times you see at the end of a program on TV, to be continued tomorrow at noon in this room. Open mic.
I'll give you 30 seconds.
Yeah, yeah.
When I was 40-something years old out in California, I had just become a follower of Christ, and in spite of all the religion. And I was told to come to Rondo Beach. There was a businessman going to speak, and I thought he was going to talk on religion, but he didn't. His name was R.G. Letourneau, one of the greatest businessmen in the history of our country. And he stood up and grabbed that podium, and he did the same thing that we do here at NFL. He didn't talk about religion, churches, or anything. He simply told about how he had been indwelled by the Holy Spirit. I came here and I heard there was a group that's doing this, and they weren't even organized. I didn't need to come. I've roamed the world. I've seen every kind of religion, everything else you could think of. But when I came here, I saw no organization, which I love, and I heard men do precisely what Dr. R.G. Letourneau did back in 1960s. And I said, if there's anything needed, this is it. I could go to a lot of big things. I just came from one recently, but this is the one that I like most of all. Thank you.
Amen, man. Notice he resists that big time. You know, there's some things just getting started tonight. With some of us, there's some things continuing with some of us as we're feeling more like we got something we need to do what we got to do next. And like I say every week at the NFL, it all starts with accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The empowerment of the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Holy Spirit. Stacy, I think about you having understood it enough to be in the car and it come upon you and you recognize what it was. When it happened to me, my mother-in-law had to say, Larry, you just received the baptism. Go home and read the book of Acts. We need people with the right influence in our life. We got it here tonight. Let's be that for somebody else as we leave here. Let's pray. Father, thank you for a night of fellowship with you and a night of fellowship with each other. I pray, Lord, that everything's been pleasing to you. And Lord, I pray as we leave here that you've had an impact on lives here. In either way I mentioned or a way that maybe I didn't even mention. Perhaps it's an idea or a thought that will be developed even in the morning when we wake up and we realize something was said that didn't quite come into maturity here tonight. But we put it together, maybe even with something happens tomorrow. And we recognize you, Father, because of what's been said here tonight and what we've thought here tonight. Father, we're so honored to be in your presence. So honored to have you in our presence. Father, teach us the things to do to keep that fellowship with you consistent. Make us sensitive to your direction in everything we do. And give us the boldness to do what we need to when we need to do it. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord.